So before we huddle up, I wanted to share, kind of as a side note, something I've run across in my studies while I was looking at the birth of Christ that I thought was pretty amazing. I use that word on purpose, even though this information I'm going to share is factual. It should not be considered necessarily doctrinal, but it could be. I present it as interesting, okay, but it's pretty compelling. It has to do with the classic Christmas story, and I thought would also go along well with our discussion today. We've all seen the wintry nativity scenes where the three wise men are gathered around the straw-filled manger with animals about and the Star of Bethlehem floating above, that is, one that guided the three wise men to the birth of Christ. It's a lovely scene that is acted out in churches all over Christendom and does a pretty good job of drawing people in during this time of year and give them a nice warm and fuzzy. The trouble is, some of these elements are just as much a fairy tale as the red, suited man and the flying reindeer. We and all the rest of the world know, we know from the Bible, that Christ was not born in the winter, and he was certainly not born on December 25th. We also know from the Bible that the three wise men did not arrive at the time of Christ's birth, but actually several months later. But who were these wise men? Who were they? And what was this star that guided them to Christ? I want to read for you very quickly here the story, just to put it in your mind from Matthew. Read along here with me. Now, after Yeshua was born in Bethlehem of Judea, born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he?" See, when they got there, he said, "Where is he?" He's already been born. They already knew. They knew he was already born. "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled. Why? Because there was another king born and he was king. So he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. And when they had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So Herod asked. So they said to him, where was he to be born? And the wise men replied, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet." And now he's quoting the Old Testament prophet. "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who shall shepherd my people Israel." That's how they knew. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them the time that the star appeared. Verse 8. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring word back to me that I may come and worship him also." Sure. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star, which they had seen in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These men were magi from the east. What they were Babylonian astrologers. People back then studied and noticed the stars, okay? And, we're not talking about, our kind of stars, but, they looked at the night sky. Everyone did this, not just the magi. The general populace was just as familiar with the movement of the stars as people today are with, Google or something. The people looked then, they looked at the stars, they saw the movements, but then they looked to the experts, the magi, to interpret what those movements meant. And this was a big part of life back then. It's not so much for us now, but it was for them, so we have to understand that. These magi, or wise men, were very schooled, and they read and studied all sorts of information from all sorts of different places, you know, different religions and different, political structures and everything that they could have a view of what the world was and try to interpret that against the stars. And one of the things that they read, even though they weren't Hebrew and even though they didn't worship the God of the Hebrews, they still had access to and read the Hebrew scriptures. So what they saw in the stars, when they started seeing things in the stars from an astronomy point of view that lined up with these Hebrew prophecies, you know, then they were like, okay, we got to go see Herod. Because all these things were starting to line up in the stars. Well, we got to go see Herod because there was a king born in Bethlehem. So they did that. And so what we're saying is, what did they see? What did they see in the movement of the stars and the position of the stars that prompted them to make this long journey? This was a big deal to go see the king. What did they follow? They followed the stars. But what were they seeing that made them go do that? See, in our day and age now, this is kind of cool. We have gotten to the point where we now have all of the, at least the visible stars that we can see in the night sky, we have them completely plotted in computers, in supercomputers. Okay? So their position and their path of movement and the speed at which each one of those does that is plotted down to the nth degree and put in these computers. And because they know the path of that star and the speed of that star, okay, the computer can calculate where each one of those would be, both projecting it into the future and back into the past. What this allows modern astrologers to be able to do is actually be able to display the position of the stars on any given night from any position on the face of this planet, forward or backward in time. It's amazing. You can go into several different planetariums in this country today, and you could walk in there, presumably if you had enough power and influence, you could say, I want to see, I don't know, you could say, I want to see what the night sky looked at the day that Noah stepped off the ark, and I want to see it from Mount Ararat. Ding. And in the planetarium, there would be the night sky that Noah would have seen. You know, you could say, hey, I'm getting married in 8-10 months. I want to see what the sky looks like on my wedding night. Boom. And there it is. Right? Now, that's where we stand from a technology standpoint. Right? Now, there was a guy by the name of Ernest Martin that decided that he wanted to see what these magi saw. He wanted to see, show me in the sky what they saw. From, you know, and they could project that from where they were in the east, and even what the night sky looked like in Jerusalem at the time. And what he discovered is very amazing. And he documented it in this book, The Star That Astonished the World, Ernest Martin. Now, I'm not an astrology fan, and don't get me wrong, you know, the Bible says, though, that the Magi did see something in the stars that prompted them to go see Herod. And Mr. Martin in this book describes in great detail exactly what they saw. And there's no way I can cover all of this, but I want to say this. For about a year or so leading up to the fall of the year, in the year that Christ was born, there was a whole bunch of extremely unique occurrences in the heavens. Meaning, there were certain stars lining up with inside of constellations that were very special. And two of these constellations are of great significance to the Hebrew prophecies of the Lion of the tribe of Judah and the Virgin. Astronomers call these Leo and Virgo. And again, it doesn't matter if we believe this. They did. This is what they were seeing. So there's lots of prophecies about the Messiah coming from the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Prophecies speak about the scepter. The scepter is always symbolic of who has rulership. And that scepter coming from, again, the Lion. Now, of course, the prophecies also talk about him coming from a virgin as well. Now, that's those two constellations. Now, also important in understanding what I'm going to show you is that Jupiter, the planet Jupiter, was viewed as the king planet. King planet. And there's a star named Regulus, I don't know how to pronounce it, which they called the king star. So you have the king planet and the king star. Now the king star was part of the constellation that made up Leo. Okay? You with me? Okay, so we have two constellations, Leo and Virgo. And one of the stars in Leo is this Regulus, which is the king star. And we have Jupiter involved as well, which is the king planet. Now, without going into a whole lot of detail, and again, I'm trying to pare this down as much as I can. Basically, for months ahead of time, within this constellation of Leo, there were multiple very unique conjunctions between Jupiter, the king planet, and Regulus, the king star. See, that's why they said, there's a king been born. We have seen his star, okay? So unique was this conjunction within the constellation of Leo that it got the Magi's undivided attention. Because remember, the Hebrew scriptures and prophecies were projecting the birth of a king. So, and the way that all of this occurred was very, very unique. And it appeared as though Jupiter, which is the king planet again, came in and made kind of a crowning effect over this Regulus king star in Leo, the lion. So in other words, the king planet came into Leo the lion constellation and passed over the king star. And then it backed up. That's weird. And then passed over it again. And they saw this as the crowning of a king. It looked like this. This is the constellation of Leo. You're going to see it. There's the king planet coming in. Oops, backs up, crosses over it again, and goes back out. Isn't that something? Because that top, this one, was the Regulus, where he came in and went back over the top of it. Now, in addition to this, the sun, okay, the sun is involved in all this. The sun is symbolic of, to them, the Father. The sun, the sun is the Father and the Creator and the ruler of everything. And the sun was in Virgo. The Father was in the Virgin. Now, Mr. Martin describes a whole bunch of other unique occurrences, but these were the ones that stood out to me. Why? Because the Magi were reading the Hebrew Scriptures, and they knew that a king was to come from Judah, the Lion. They knew that he was to be born of a virgin. So when, after about a year of all of these strange occurrences going on in the sky that they were seeing, they were watching very carefully. And then, here it comes, inside the constellation of Judah, where the king star is. Here comes Jupiter, the king planet, crowns the king star. And at the very same time, the sun, which is the father of all, is in Virgo, the virgin. That was way too much for them to ignore. They said, well, the king has been born. The king's been born. We need to go see Herod. Okay? The king's been born, fathered by the ruler of all, to a virgin, and crowned king. That's what they saw. Perfectly fitting all of the prophecies that they were seeing in the Hebrew Scriptures. So they followed the star. You know? And they traveled to see Herod. Now, you know, some people will say, well, I don't believe in astrology, and the Bible condemns astrology. Why are you talking about that? Well, I agree. I don't follow it either. But they did. And that's the point. I'm not a magi. They did follow it. They were all in believers of this stuff. And point is, this is what they saw. And this is what they believed. And this is what prompted them to go to see Herod. Our belief in it is immaterial. It doesn't matter whether you do or whether you don't. Don't care. They did. And because of this, we can track their movements. Because we know when they saw what they saw. Because we can project all of this now back with these computers, back to the exact time. There was no floating star that they followed like a puppy hovering over to Jerusalem. No. What they followed was what they saw in the stars and read in the Hebrew Scriptures that prompted them to go see the king. And when they got there, the king asked them, where is this king to be born? Well, they replied that the Scriptures said he's to be born in Bethlehem. So the king said, go and search for him. And bring, you know, let me know so I can go worship him. Yeah. Go search in Bethlehem. But again, it was the Hebrew prophecies that guided them to Bethlehem. This is in Micah. This is what they quoted to Herod when he asked them, where is this king to be born? They quoted Micah. But you, Bethlehem, you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be the ruler of Israel. The account I read to you in Matthew referred to a star that then appeared and stood over Bethlehem. Okay? So what was that? So right, we know now what got them to Herod. And then Herod said, well, where is he going to be born? He said, well, let's go to Bethlehem. And then Matthew says this star stood over Bethlehem. Okay, what was that star? Well, from the account, we can get a few points. We know that it was a newly appeared object, that it appeared at that time. We know that the same star, appeared twice. It appeared once as one of the things that prompted them to go to see Herod. And then once at Jerusalem, from Jerusalem, it appeared again and, in our English, stood over Bethlehem. We know that Herod and his advisors didn't see it, because Herod had to ask the Magi when it appeared. So it wasn't especially bright or obvious because they didn't see it. You know, it took somebody trained and really watching what was going on. The star was described as a single object, wasn't it? Okay. Mr. Martin discovered that something very special happened twice during this time. Once before they left, when all these other things were going on, and once again from Jerusalem. What it was a conjunction of Venus and Jupiter. Now Jupiter, remember, is the king planet. And Venus represents fertility, new life, and birth. It represents birth. Now, a conjunction is when two planets come into alignment as viewed from Earth. So, when they come into alignment, you know, they're coming together, and then all of a sudden they appear to us as one object. It kind of looks like this. You're going to see the sun there in the middle. We're the blue, and this is what we can see. And then the planets spinning around there, right? And so even though the planets are moving at different distances and are moving at different rates, at this point, bam, right there, Jupiter and Venus come into conjunction. And then you get kind of the brightness from the two, because one kind of halos around the other. And it appears brighter in the sky. And this conjunction appeared twice, between Venus, the mother, and Jupiter, the king planet. And this happened within, inside, the constellation of Leo, the lion, the tribe of Judah. So I'm going to play another little video here, and you need to watch, because what you're going to see very quickly, it happens pretty quick, is Jupiter coming down from the top and going into the constellation of Leo. And then Venus comes in and goes into conjunction, this conjunction that you just saw here, while they're both still in Leo. Okay, here we go. So just kind of watch this guy there coming down. See, it's coming down in inside Leo. So there we have, from the night sky, as the Magi are leaving Jerusalem from visiting Herod, they get this confirmation as these conjunctive planets come together and stand over Bethlehem. This is what they would have seen. There's Leo, the constellation. Now it gets turned, and there it comes up, and bam. That's what they would have seen. That's what they saw. There's the star of Bethlehem. It's not floating. It's not moving in front of them. That they followed it in that way. They followed what they were interpreting the movement of the stars to mean. Now this second conjunction of the king planet and Venus was their confirmation. So they went to Bethlehem to search. The phrase that the star stood over Bethlehem, that word stood over, what they translate to stood over, is also translated to establish. See, this second conjunction established to the Magi that they were on the right track and that a new king was in Bethlehem. Go! It established Bethlehem to them because they read the stars and compared it to the Hebrew prophecies. The Bible said that the star showed them the way to find the child in Bethlehem. How did it do that? Well, it did. And the reason is because the stars had already shown them when he was born. Remember, the Bible told us that, hey, they went to Herod and said, hey, the king has been born. They knew, based on all this other stuff that they saw when this conjunction happened the first time, they knew when he was born. And they said, oh, he's born. Time to leave. And they went to see Herod. They knew when he was born. So the stars actually guided them to find Christ in Bethlehem. He wasn't in the manger anymore. He's in a house. You know, they were just, that was just that night they were you know, searching for a place. Because, man, Mary's getting ready to have this kid. Well, by the next day, you know, they went around, they found a place. So they knew. So when they got to Bethlehem, the star guided them to him. How? Bethlehem's not this big a town. All they had to do was come into town and say, where's the baby that was born on bop-a-bop-a-bop-a-bop day? Oh, yeah, that's Mary's little kid. She's up the street here on the left. See, they knew exactly where to find her, find him, because they knew the day he was born. And how did they know the exact date? Because, again, this conjunction had already happened once, right? All right. Now, that's the whole reason why I'm excited about this. Because that's the answer to why I'm sharing this with you. Because that you needed all this background before I got here. All right. Being able to see what the Magi actually saw and track what it meant to them makes that journey make sense, doesn't it? And because we can track exactly by these stars, there's no variance, we know exactly when they saw them. So then we are able to calculate when all this happened, even down to the hour. And all of this showed Mr. Martin how to understand and pinpoint what we read in Revelation 12, verse 1 and 2. Now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. This is a revelation by Yeshua himself. And this comes to us after the fact. It tells us what happened in past tense, doesn't it? The Magi were tracking prophecies of the Old Testament. And we know what they saw and when. Now, if this revelation given by Yeshua himself is looking backward at signs in heaven that we can also track, if those happen to align with the others at the same time, that gets to be very interesting, doesn't it? Very compelling. So what do we see here in this scripture? Well, the sign, it says, appeared in heaven, doesn't it? In the stars. And the sign is of a woman that is with child. Now we know by context that child is Christ. We also know from the word that the woman is a virgin, don't we? We know the sign is that the virgin is clothed with the sun, that it has 12 stars about her head, and that the moon is under her feet. Those are the things we know. That's the sign. Now, if there's anything like this occurring in the night sky at the same time that the Magi is tracking all the rest of it, and these conjunctions are happening, and they were tracking it, they knew nothing of this. If those, all of that came together, it'd be pretty incredible, wouldn't it? Well, it did. Virgo is the virgin, and I won't go into it because it's a long explanation, but you just have to roll with me on this one. There was a garland of 12 stars about the constellation, about the top, the head of the constellation of Virgo. So the virgin had a garland of 12 stars about her head. Now, as far as this statement, clothed with the sun, goes, for the sake of time again, just know that the translation here doesn't give really a clear picture. The meaning of these words would denote that the woman that we know is a virgin is with child from the sun. It means she's clothed with the child. Okay, she's pregnant with child. Which again, and she's pregnant, she's clothed with the child from the sun. So she's pregnant with the father's child, okay? And the son, we know, is representative of the father and the supreme ruler. So what we're looking for is, what if the son inside the constellation of Virgo is somewhere around the belly of Virgo? All right? Well, as it turns out, there's only 20 days in the whole cycle of the year where the sun is mid-bodied into Virgo. Mid-body, meaning, okay, we're gonna count the number of days where the sun is like between here and here. Okay? Alright. And you gotta remember, all of this is happening together. All this stuff I've already covered with the Magi and all that, that's occurring in the sky as well. The conjunctions and all of it. Okay, and being crowned, the whole bill. Then we look to Virgo, and during this 20 days that the sun is mid-bodied, the woman being clothed with the sun in English, we find the 12 stars above her head. That's a very special occurrence, by the way. That was pretty odd as well. Then we see that from Bethlehem, viewing again from one particular place on earth, from Bethlehem, when we look up into the night sky, there was one night in that 20 days. One night. One precise bit of time where the sun or the moon came under the feet of Virgo. Therefore, fulfilling all points of this sign that Yeshua said appeared in heaven. And in addition to that, it was a new moon day. Anybody paying attention to me on my explanations of the holy days, that should have clued something. A new moon day. I told you that you'd learn something cool today. What holy day is always on a new moon? You remember? See, we've mused for some time that since Christ was born in the fall, we know he was born in the fall, that it was quite possible, if not probable, that he was probably born on one of the holy days. And we know that trumpets is all about the advent of Christ, isn't it? It's about him coming. We celebrate trumpets as the time of his second coming. But really, if we were to choose one of the fall holy days as the most likely day for the first advent of Christ, it would be trumpets, wouldn't it? Be the likely choice to wager on. And according to Mr. Martin, and the alignment of the stars in concert with the prophetic scripture, and also Yeshua's words with and coming into alignment with revealed scripture, he revealed to the Apostle John, you win that wager. Why not? Makes sense, doesn't it? He comes first on that day, the first time, and he comes and he returns on the same day. And it makes even more sense as you begin to look at some of the other things that trumpets really symbolizes. Because, again, Rosh Hashanah is also the new year for the Jews. It's a time of new beginning. It comes from also their understanding. They believe that the first creation was completed on Rosh Hashanah. Okay? Also that was the day that Noah stepped off the ark. And that it was a time of rebirth for that day as well. And they have their reasons for these things. I'm not going to go into it. But it's very compelling from a biblical standpoint. Rosh Hashanah is a time of regeneration. And also on trumpets, it's a time when the kings are inaugurated. It's a time when the kings are crowned. And that's that crowning effect. Yeshua came to be a king. The point is, there's a lot of symbolism around the Feast of Trumpets that make it, from a symbolic point of view, to be the perfect day for Christ to be Lord. And why not have the first and the second coming be on the same day? The symbolism fits for both. So whether or not, again, you follow astrology, it doesn't matter. The bottom line is the Magi did. And now we can see what they saw. We can understand why they did what they did and why they said what they said. And we can track all of that now down to the very hour because of the positions of the stars. We can know when they did what they did. And when all of that corresponds to the narrative of the Bible, as well as Yeshua's own revelation, it's very compelling. And given all that data and the revelation from the Word, we see from the stars that there is one day. There is only one day that fits all of those signs, that fits all in the heavens, and that fits all of the prophecies and all of the revelation of the Bible. One day. Rosh Hashanah. Feast of Trumpets. And I'll leave you with this. Just something to chew on. And it's a side note, obviously. It's kind of interesting. Our Julian calendar date for that particular year that he was born, for Rosh Hashanah, was September 11th. I don't know what that means. Probably didn't mean anything, but that was interesting. So let's huddle up and chew on that. We got a few things to chew on. All right?